Chapter 28. Jaina Solo watched the auxiliary landing bay on the Chimera from the pilot's ready room. From her vantage point, she was able to look down on the bay and the Lambda-class shuttle situated between two X-wings. She and Annie Capstan had been scrambled to recon the shuttle. Then a remnant shuttle had tractored it and dragged it to where the Chimera's bay tractor beams could haul it in. On her first recon pass, she had recognized the shuttle for what it was, but only just barely. The landing gear were extended, and the wings locked up. Because the shuttles were never seen in flight that way, it seemed out of place drifting there. That impression was aided by the fact that all sorts of growths covered the shuttle. Jaina made runs close enough for visual contact, to see if there was a pilot at the controls, and the growths reminded her of algae and barnacles, just crusty things spreading over the shuttle's hull. A fairly thick concentration of them covered the landing ramp's outline, leading Jaina to wonder how the recovery team would open it. Once the shuttle was pulled into the landing bay, the X-wings were ordered to land. Then technicians in biohazard suits had hustled Annie and her from the bay. The both of them got scanned for alien life forms, were pronounced clean, and allowed to wait in the ready room or head into one of the galleys to get something to eat. Annie ran off, and Jaina was fairly certain she'd have found a sabacc game somewhere and in no time at all would be stripping crew members of whatever the remnant used for credits. Jaina decided to stay and watch. She remembered Alagos well from traveling with him, her mother, and Danny before she joined the squadron. The quiet calm he possessed amazed her. It didn't seem so much that he ignored the outside world, or was able to override emotions through logic, but that he looked at any problem, saw the core of it, and dealt with that instead of getting detoured by distractions. In flying recon on the shuttle, she'd heard the continuous looping of Alagos' voice. It sounded normal, and even happy, but something about it disturbed her. She was hoping she'd see Alagos at the controls, or be able to sense him on board the shuttle. But nothing. Of course, before the appearance of the shuttle, she'd not known about Alagos' mission to the Yuuzhan Vong, and she was pretty certain that part of her shock at learning about it was what was tainting her feelings about the shuttle.
"What they have done there is unusual."
She turned as Jag Fell entered the pilot room. He wore a black flight suit with red stripes on the sleeves and legs. He wasn't as formal as he had been at the reception, but neither did he seem casual. Looking at him, she would have refused to believe he was Wedge's nephew, if not for the resemblance around the eyes and nose.
"Pretty much everything the Yuuzhan Vong do is unusual, as far as I'm concerned."
Jaina folded her arms across her chest and looked back at the deck.
"They've spent an hour scanning the thing. I can't imagine there is much more they can learn without cracking it open."
"There isn't. That's not what they are doing."
Fell came and stood beside her, his reflection easily visible in the transparisteel over the viewport.
"They don't know what is in there, and they're just making sure that if it's harmful, they don't get blamed for releasing it."
"You say that as if it's a bad thing to be cautious."
He shook his head.
"They know they cannot be certain of what is in there. All they can do is reduce uncertainty to statistically insignificant levels. What they are wasting is time. We are at war. There is no absence of risk. There are times when one just has to do what needs to be done to win."
Jaina turned and looked at him.
"In theory, you're only 2 years older than me, but you're talking like you're old enough to be my dad."
He nodded once.
"Forgive me. I was judging you based on your accomplishments, not your age."
She blinked and felt anger spike.
"What is that supposed to mean?"
The flesh around Fell's eyes hardened.
"You are a Jedi. You are a superior pilot in an elite squadron. The dedication and skill required for these things are well known. I made the mistake of assuming too much about you."
Jaina frowned.
"I'm reading your tracking data, but still don't have a lock on your target."
Jag Fell sighed.
"In Chiss society, there is no adolescence. Chiss children mature early and are given adult responsibilities very quickly. Those of us humans living with them were raised as they were raised. Intellectually, I knew things were not the same here in the New Republic. But you think I'm a child?
Gina gave him an icy glare.
You think I'm soft or something?
Fel broke eye contact, and she noticed a blush rising on his cheeks. He raised a hand to ward off her comments, then shook his head. In doing that, he peeled off a decade or two, and seemed to her for the first time to be someone his own age.
Not soft. No, not at all. You have determination and courage, but you lack...
Lack what?
He frowned and glanced out at the shuttle.
You're not grim.
Jaina caught herself before she could proclaim that she was, in fact, grim. Grim enough to out-grim him, even.
No. I mean, there are times, yes, but being grim takes such a toll.
It does, at that.
He pointed a finger toward two men walking across the deck. They were wearing environment suits, but the clear headgear made them easily recognizable.
My, uncle, when he hugged me at that reception, we'd met barely an hour before, privately, and he was surprised to learn who I was. But in no time after that, where I come from, there are men that I have never seen smile before. And here he was in the midst of a difficult situation, and he was happy to meet me. Not because I was an ally, but because I was his sister's son. And he accepted me despite the fact that my mother's departure from the New Republic hurt him deeply.
Gino reached out and rested a hand on Fel's shoulder.
Wedge is like that. Most people are. Life is too harsh not to take what pleasure you can find in it. And certainly learning of his sister and how her life has gone would be wonderful to him. No matter how bad things might be, a joke, a smile, a pat on the back helped break the tension.
Fel raised his chin, and Jaina could feel his defenses repairing themselves.
Among the Chiss, celebration is saved until the job is done.
Even if it is never-ending?
If it isn't ended, the celebration is false.
No, it's necessary.
She looked at him, at his strong profile, at the determination on his face, and felt a shiver run down her spine. That he was handsome, there was no disputing. And the cockiness, which was backed by fantastic skill as a pilot, had its charm. She admired the way he'd stood up to the New Republic's politicians, most of whom disgusted her because of the way they treated her mother. Even the imperial formality was attractive in a quaint sort of way.
I wonder if my mother saw my father that same way.
The second that thought occurred to her, she pulled her hand back from Fell's shoulder abruptly.
Oh, no. I am not going to let myself fall for some guy who thinks grim is the normal state of being. Not the time or place to even be thinking about it.
Fel glanced over when she pulled her hand away, then half-smiled.
The Chiss, despite the impression I might have given you, are a thoughtful people. Deliberate, calculating, but not above a flight of fantasy or two. They are not averse to wondering where they would be had life been different, whom they would have met, how they would have met, what would have become of them.
And you mention this because...
Because...
He hesitated, then looked out at the deck.
I was wondering what Uncle Wedge would have thought of my older brother.
Jaina smiled and looked out at the deck.
The only problem with those flights of fancy are that life never works as cleanly as we'd like. Sometimes a meeting is just a meeting. Other times it's a prelude.
Fel laughed lightly.
Had I said that, you would have accused me of talking as if I were your father's age again.
I might well have, but probably not.
She didn't glance at him, but did look at his reflection.
The nice thing about being an adolescent is being able to make mature decisions when you need them, and being able to just flow along with life when you don't.
Corin felt extremely uncomfortable in the environment suit. He was sweating, but wasn't hot, since the suit's cold temperature had him shivering. The way the growths on the shuttle changed its outline, the way scales trailed along edges, then blossomed into a gush of gray-brown mineral crusts, just had his flesh crawling. He glanced over at Wedge.
"You don't need to be here, Wedge. If anything happened to you, Iella and the kids would never forgive me."
"Oh, sure. And you think Mirax would forgive me if anything happened to you?"
Wedge laughed easily.
"You and me. Just like that trench run on Borleas. Except this time you go first."
"Didn't I get ordered out on that run?"
"Yeah, you did. You going to pull rank on me here, Colonel?"
"You'd listen to that order as well as I did."
Corin shook his head.
"And you're not feeble-minded enough for some of the Jedi things to work. Okay, glad you're on my wing."
The two men approached the shuttle and walked to the area of the landing ramp. Tex had pulled up a wheeled set of steps that would allow one of them to climb up and touch the underside of the hull. A huge growth, looking to Corin a lot like a giant scab, complete with that dark brown tinged with dried blood purple color, covered the whole landing ramp. The growth changed color over by the access panel, becoming lighter in color and a lot spikier.
"What do you think, Wedge?"
"Well, your lightsaber ought to be able to core through the hull, but you never know what you're going to be cutting above."
He folded his arms across his chest.
"Since this is being presented to you with the Yuuzhan Vong commander's compliments, I'm not inclined to think he wants you carving up his handiwork."
"You're right there."
Corin mounted the steps and took a close look at the growth covering the remote access panel.
"This growth is a lot sharper than the others, with some of the edges looking serrated. And there are spines, almost like needles."
He raised a gloved hand toward the growth, and one of the spines shifted to orient toward it. In an eye blink, a slender needle shot out, but failed to penetrate the glove. Still, it hit with enough impact to knock Corin's hand back a couple of centimeters. Corin aided and abetted it by leaping backwards and found himself on the deck, with Wedge steadying him.
"You okay?"
Corin nodded.
"Yeah, I'm fine," he sighed. "If you were to send someone a token of your esteem, you'd want to make sure he got it, right? You'd lock it up and give him some sort of combination or code to open it, wouldn't you?"
"Makes sense."
"I was afraid of that."
Corin freed his lightsaber from his belt with his right hand and ignited it, letting the silver blade splash cold highlights over the shuttle. He extended his left hand to Wedge.
"Take my glove off. I'm going to touch it with my bare hand. Something weird happens, the hand goes."
Wedge frowned.
"Are you sure this is wise?"
"Of course not, but I don't think I've got much choice."
The green-eyed Jedi smiled.
"I left enough blood on Bimiel that the Vong have easily got samples. I'm betting that thing there is keyed to open when it gets another taste of me."
The older man stripped the Jedi's left glove off.
"Wouldn't bleeding into a cup and offering that make more sense?"
Sure, in a non-Corellian sort of way."
Corin shrugged and climbed back up and raised his left hand toward the shuttle's belly. One of the spines shifted over and flicked a needle into his palm. It pulled back fast enough, and Corin stared at the bead of blood rising from the little wound.
"Guess we should have thought about venom, shouldn't we?"
Before Wedge could answer, the edges of the scab cracked, with little brittle pieces of it falling to the deck to shatter like ice. Thick, glistening lines of mucus flowed from around the edges, linking the hull to the descending ramp. The lines stretched thin, then broke in the middle, half of it retracting to drip from the hull, the other slowly flowing into a sluggish crystalline pool on the deck. Corin climbed off the stairs and headed up the ramp, his lightsaber still lit. Wedge came close on his heels, with a blaster in his right hand. Save for some bioluminescent lighting, the shuttle remained dark, with the lightsaber's blaze deepening shadows and stretching them into grotesques as Corin waved it about. Throughout, the shuttle panels had been pulled open and smashed. Weird Yuuzhan Vong growths, some like roots, others just coral spikes, decorated the interior hull. They spread out in an ivy-like pattern. But even as the two men entered the ship, the growths began to wither and sag. The external sheath and the long tendrils split, allowing black fluid to ooze out. Corin shook his head.
I don't understand.
I do. All that stuff was probably scanning us while we were scanning the shuttle. It was sending back information for as long as it took for the hull to be opened. Then it started dying, and dying so fast we aren't going to get anything useful out of analysis.
Wedge pulled a piece of root from a wall, and it dissolved in his hand.
Something is metabolizing this stuff very fast. It's like having a compost pile decaying at light speed.
Well, if that's the message Shaddao Shai wants to send me, I don't know how to take it. I mean, I'm not the Jedi who was a farm boy, and I'm not planning on dying that fast, thanks.
Corin held his lightsaber high to spread the light out.
Wait, what's this?
Up toward the front of the passenger compartment, flush against the bulkhead that backed up to the pilot's compartment, sat a large and semi-ovoid shape, lying on its side. It had a seam running around the middle, parallel to the deck, and looked very much to Corin like the shell of a sea creature. It had a rough tan exterior, with stripes running from the spine to fan out along the front edge. Another of the stony growths with spines sealed the seam at the front. As the two men approached it down the aisle between banks of seats, the villip perched on top of it took on the features of a Lagos. Though the protoplasmic ball lacked his golden down, it did take on a yellow hue, and even had purple streaks around the eyes. It looked much akin to a static holograph, where the lasers had been misaligned. Recognizable, but only barely. The villip began to speak in a Lagos's voice.
There is much I would tell you about the Yuuzhan Vong, but I have little time. Shaddao Shai has taught me much. The Yuuzhan Vong are not mindless predators, but a complex species whose philosophy is much the antithesis of ours. I have not discovered the origin of their hatred for machines, but in other things I believe there is room for compromise. My mission to the Yuuzhan Vong has been difficult, but not fruitless, and I have hopes for continued progress.
The image molded onto the villip smiled.
In our many discussions, Shaddao Shai was especially intrigued by the tale of Grand Admiral Thrawn studying the art of the enemy and gleaning understanding from it. For you, Corin Horn, Shaddao Shai has great respect. He knows you were at Bimiel. The two warriors slain there were kin of his. He knows you were at Garki. He believes the two of you will meet in the future. So he has prepared for you the enclosed, so you may study his handiwork as he has studied yours. Every day here, my understanding of the Yuuzhan Vong grows, as does their understanding of us.
Alagos's eyes softened.
It is my hope that I will be again with you soon, in a time of peace. Please give my love to my daughter and friends. Fear not for me, Corin. Though difficult, this mission is vital, if there is to be any chance at peace at all.
At the message's conclusion, the villip condensed back down into a ball, then rolled off to the left and dropped to the decking. Corrin looked over at Wedge and shivered.
I don't think I like Shadow Shai thinking the folks on this side of the firing line are the same caliber of genius as Thrawn was.
Wedge shrugged.
Well, it might make him more cautious.
And might make him come at us with enough force that even Thrawn would have run.
The Jedi shook his head.
Maybe we can talk the Vong into accepting some Nogri bodyguards.
I don't think that's likely.
Wedge nodded at the container.
You going to open it?
I guess. If Alagos had thought this was a trap, he would have found a way to warn me.
Corrin held his left hand above the seal and tightened it into a fist, letting a couple droplets of blood drip down onto the Yuuzhan Vong device. The growth cracked slowly, then crumbled. The shell case slowly opened. The lightsaber's glow flashed from gold in the interior.
Sith spawn!
Corrin felt his guts liquefy as he dropped to his knees.
Oh no. No.
The opened case revealed a work of art that clearly had been the result of many hours lovingly lavished on it. A fully articulated skeleton sat cross-legged, each bone washed with gold. The sternum and the smooth caps at the end of long bones were gleamed with platinum. Scintillating violet gems burned in the hollows of the eye sockets. Amethysts had been powdered and layered onto the sides of the skull, flaring back in the exact pattern of Alagos's stripes. The teeth, polished white, grinned coldly in the lipless mouth. The Kamasi skeleton sat there, the head canted down to stare at the villip nestled in the triangle described by its legs. That ball of tissue hardened into mismatched features. The voice that emerged from it came equally harsh and halting. Its command of basic was fine, but shaping its mouth around the sounds appeared to be difficult.
I am Shadow Shai. You were at Bimiel. You slew two of my kinsmen and left them to be gnawed by vermin. You stole the bones of my ancestor. These bones here I present to you, so you may know the proper way to venerate fallen Yuuzhan Vong warriors.
The voice softened almost imperceptibly.
I regret that your actions forced me to slay Alagos. I want you to know I did it myself, with my bare hands. As I strangled him, I read in his eyes betrayal, but only at the first. Before he died, he understood the necessity of his death. You must understand it as well.
The Yuuzhan Vong's eyes narrowed on the villip's surface.
We will meet our respective forces at the world you call Ithor. If you have any honor at all, and Alagos assured me you did, you will return to me the bones of my ancestor. If you do not, then it is you who renders our friend's death meaningless.
Corrin felt Wedge's hands on his shoulders as the villip rounded itself again. The Jedi flicked off his lightsaber, sinking the cabin into darkness, all but hiding the skeleton displayed before him. He reached out with his left hand, seeking warmth, seeking something of Alagos's essence, but just felt cold.
Wedge, he was... Alagos was so peaceful. He saved me and my sanity when I was with the pirates. He helped save Mirax.
Corrin hung his head.
And his murderer tells me that his death is my fault? Alagos never did anything to hurt anyone, and is slaughtered to make a point?
Wedge's hands tightened on Corin's shoulders. To the Yuuzhan Vong, this was the only message they thought you would understand.
Yeah. Well, this Shaddao Shai made his point.
Corin heaved himself to his feet.
He wants those bones back? He'll get them. And in a big box, too. I'm going to pack his in with them. Then the Vong can carry the whole stinking lot back to wherever they call home.